Thank you for tuning in for another week of The Barbershop on PlayersVoice.com. I'm your host, Mark Gray. Thank you for joining us. And today I'm joined by Damar Johnson. How you doing, buddy?
What's up? I'm back like I never left.
Yeah, man. Welcome back again. Glad to have you here. And as always, the weak point of the show, A1, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Okay. You said you're welcome this time. It's that time of the year. To me, this is like There's no better time to me as a sports fan. While I always go back and forth between which one I like more, the NFL playoffs or the NBA playoffs, I feel like there's nothing better than, they need to separate them though. There needs to be the JV and varsity, the Eastern Conference playoff. I pulled out the schedule today and I'm looking at the matchups and I couldn't think of four less intriguing matchups than the Eastern Conference things. I'm looking and it's just like, The Celtics could play. Why are the Celtics in the playoffs? Why, you know what I mean?
They actually tried to tank.
All these teams, if you look at these teams in the Eastern Conference, they're all teams that at some point in the season tried to get rid of their best players. You know, the Celtics tried to tank. Brooklyn tried to sell the team. You know what I'm saying? Tried to sell its players. Indianapolis got rid of all their starters, told George Hill, take the year off so we can, they tried to tank. They're going to be in the play, and it's just like, wow. That's what the Eastern Conference is giving you.
It's bad, man.
It is so bad. And then you look out west, and it's amazing. Those matchups in the west, especially like the last couple of weeks, the games that TNT has been showing, these Western Conference games are like, wow, amazing, man. It's some real, real good basketball. But as we wind down, we got a lot of NFL. I want to put a wrap on the season, whether it be give out these awards, MVPs, rookies of the year, coach of the year, all of that good stuff. Before we get into that though, you said you didn't see any of the golf stuff or pay attention to any of the golf stuff over the weekend?
No, I watched the first 3 days Sunday. I didn't see what happened Sunday. I try to keep up with it on my phone.
Is it just, but are you like me? Do you just look for Tiger?
I start off just looking for Tiger. Then when I'm watching it, I kind of, you know, get to know some of the other guys and I try to, you know, keep up. When I see somebody's got a high streak going, I try to keep up what they was doing.
Am I the only one who's frustrated when I go on ESPN.com that there's not like a Tiger page? I feel like when you click on the master scoreboard, there should be a link that just says Tiger score here. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. I'm going down, I'm scrolling, I'm looking. Guys I've never heard of, you know, like you scroll, you see one name here. Oh, Rory, or, you know. And it's like, where's Tiger at? And you have to scroll down. And they have these dumb long ties, like 19 people will be tied for the same position. Mm-hmm. You just got to keep scrolling down and then read this thing. ESPN, if you're listening, trust me, I know I'm not the only person who wants just a Tiger link. That's all I need is a Tiger
link.
That's
not fair.
You don't think so? He's big. He is. If ever, you know the saying is nobody's bigger than the sport. I feel like he's the exception. Maybe not now as much, obviously, but he, and then at what point, at his height, Lance Armstrong was bigger than the sport, but in terms of Tiger Woods was the exception. I feel like there were Tiger tournaments and then there was non-Tiger tournaments. And it was like a Tiger tournament mattered. And if Tiger wasn't in the tournament, it was like, why is it even on television? You know what I mean? The difference between if Tiger played in your tournament on Sunday, it was a leading story on SportsCenter. If Tiger's not, they might cover it before the 11 o'clock hour was over.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I feel like he was the exception. He was the first person that I really could say that I felt he was bigger than his sport. You know, people try to say Jordan. I said, not even close. I don't think Jordan was ever bigger than the NBA. I think he was huge. He was the biggest part of the NBA, but at no point in time was he ever bigger than the NBA.
That's just to us. He's not bigger than the sport to golf fans.
But here's the difference, though. Like, here's the difference. Like, you know, we always say about boxing. Like, me and you always talk about boxing. There is more casual fans of golf than there are real golf fans. You see what I'm saying? So, if a non-Tiger tournament, let's just throw a number out there, there's 2 million golf fans who are watching it. The Tiger tournament, 15 million fans. So there's more of us who, you know what I'm saying, right, who are interested in just Tiger, right, than they're all golf fans. Of course, there's always going to be golf fans. Let's not act like golf won't survive without Tiger. You know what I mean? They'll be fine. There's definitely no shortage of people who follow golf.
Right.
You know, it's just that he quadrupled or even more than that. And just the amount of money he put in, you know, golfers never – now you're talking about golfers with private jets. And, you know, the 100th guy on the tour is a millionaire. That was never the case before Tiger at all. So he did wonders for the sport. You know, now.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Like, for you personally, what is it about Tiger that makes him a big draw for you? As someone who doesn't really care about golf that much outside of when he's playing.
I love greatness. Not only do I wake up in the morning and piss it, but not, no matter what it is, like in any event, like I don't like track and field, but when Usain Bolt came out of nowhere, like, yeah, I wonder if this guy's going to be running faster than anybody's ever ran. Yeah, I want to know what it is. When Lance Armstrong, I don't know anything about cycling, but when he was in his run, I was interested. Just, hey, this guy's going for a seventh quarter. Hey, I want to see, you know, let's see if he can win seven.
With Tiger, you just want to know if he's going to, you know, break the record.
But now it's actually, I guess his career can be broken up into two parts, because before it was Tiger watching for Tiger's dominance.
Right.
Now it's like the Tiger soap opera, you know what I mean? Like, is he back? Is he active? Is he playing? Is he activating his glutes? Is he popping bones back into place, you know? But that's for me. I just like to see the greatness. And I remember it was that last tournament before everything. Sports Illustrated one is up here. The last one that he won where he was like had a broken leg and ended up just before everything, all the rails fell off and everything. And I remember it was on a Sunday, and a football Sunday at that. And I remember watching it at my house, coming over to your house, and it's like 15 dudes in the basement. I think at that time it was only two TVs, and one of them was on the Masters or whatever event was.
I watched it.
You know, and it was like a room full of dudes who would never be watching that thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we were all there watching the end to see if he pulled out. And it was like, that's when you know you, like, that's, you get a room full of brothers on a football Sunday trying to catch the end of a golf tournament. Yeah. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. You're right about that. Because like I said, I watch it now. And before, I didn't even understand golf. Now I have a pretty good understanding of it.
I actually, when I was listening, I want to play. I think it's the hardest thing in the world. And I don't even know how one goes about starting.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's, you know, go golfing. I don't know how that works. But he was good for the sport. No doubt about that. Would you watch anything, like, if Tiger's not involved in golf tournament, do you even stop on the channel?
Probably not. Unless there's nothing else on, probably not. Because like I say, by watching him, I've got to know a few other guys who I've seen, you know, do some impressive things. So if I see one of their names on there, I might click on there. But really, I'm watching to see what Tiger's doing. Honestly.
And also, it seems like for the past 5-6 years, every 3 or 4 months, some new guy comes up who was supposed to be the next Tiger. And it's like, as fast as they come, they're gone. Like, oh, this name. And you're just like, okay, yeah. And then you just never hear from him again. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I wanted to see, to answer your question, anything in that involves greatness or people in sports, that's what the Olympics is about. You know what I mean? You watch sports. These are all sports that you never watch. But I'll watch the finals of the gymnastics thing just to see if we're going to get the gold, you know, and whatever. I'll watch the long jump off of a ski slope. Anything that's competitive and, you know, and you might, and something's at stake. I guess that's the thing. Something's at stake. Then yeah, I'm all for that. Me personally, that's all I say. But neither one of us any of us three would claim to be any golf experts. Or I hope nobody's tuning in to get their golf analysis from us. But from what I've been hearing, it's very torn about what people think. Like a lot of people, like we said, were like, wow, you know, it's good to see Tiger back. And a lot of golf experts are saying it's laughable to call this back. Like, since when was the Tiger bar tied for 17th? You know, right. What do you feel? Which way do you feel like?
Well, he was playing so bad before, and this being his first tournament of the year, really, he hasn't played a lot of holes this year. And I thought this was, you know, a good step for him out there this weekend. I didn't see Sunday, but he was pretty much in it for the whole weekend, and I thought it was good. I know that's not the Tiger we're used to saying. Second place is, you know, nothing to him. But now, at this point, he's getting older. He's fighting all these injuries. And we just want to see if he's still going to be competitive. Then, you know, all he got to do is win 4 more to catch Jack.
Just to throw a number out there, and again, neither one of us know anything. How many do you see him winning? How many more?
It's hard to see him winning 4 more.
At this rate, yeah, absolutely yeah, not.
It is.
At a rate of 0 a year. It's definitely hard to see you reaching 4.
I think this depends on how long he plays. You know, is he going to play till he's 45? You know, Phil almost won out there at almost 45. You know,
he's still competitive, though.
But sometimes I see Phil when Phil's down there too, like not even close.
But
just doesn't get that much.
No doubt about it. Tiger's the only person that was, because there's a lot of guys, like I said, insert name here. I remember when Vijay Singh was like the dude, and it was like he win. A lot of these guys, they make it seem like Tiger's was the only one who was like, not only would he win, he was always up there. There was no shortage of guys who would win and then be 50th.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like for the following week, Tiger just had set the bar so high. I feel like if he doesn't get it going, there's no shot at four. Like, I don't think it's going to be like a one next year, 2 years off, one another year, 3 years off, right. one another. No. I feel like it'll be like he either is back
and
he starts knocking out two in a year, right. or if not, then I feel like it's just going to be, he'll be lucky to get one more.
But it's crazy because just years ago, he was still the number one player. Yep.
2 years ago,
he just went in all the tournaments
the
that wasn't
ones,
near the
that weren't
ones.
Majors.
But I think once he wins one major, then he might have that confidence again. And then, you know, he might run off.
As an athlete, to you, is that something? Because apparently, not apparently, but I guess sort of like golfing, and maybe even like free throws, is that it's 100% mental. Not 100%, but so much of golf is mental. Mm-hmm. As an athlete, do you find it, is that something that you can relate to, that somebody is just like, you ever seen that in your sport where just somebody swagger was just
yeah,
gone?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once you have your confidence, then you feel like, I mean, you can do anything. You're going to take shots that maybe you're not used to taking, and you're going to do things you're not used to doing and trying because you have that confidence. If you don't have that confidence, then, you know, you're not.
You've played with greats such as Iverson, Melo, Duncan, and several other. Have you mm-hmm. ever seen anything, like, even at the end of Iverson's career, do you think he ever was just like, man, I don't think I can score a bucket?
Not a chance.
Right. He to this day, he probably feels like he could give the NBA 50, right?
Right, right.
And, I mean, I think Jordan in his head right now thinks he could give it the NBA 50. Right. So it's just weird to me to see a guy who, and before the, I mean, he wasn't just bad. He was like, you know, he was embarrassing himself out there.
Yeah, he was.
In a sport that he just dominated.
Yeah, but like you say, I mean, they say that's also a really mental sport, man. Your head ain't in it.
Yeah, that is amazing. I like to see him do well. I don't understand why people are rooting. I mean, I guess I do understand why people are rooting against him. I personally,
but people still give him his respect. I mean, I hear you know, a lot of the golf people talk, and even though, you know, he hasn't won the most majors, they still say he's probably the best golfer ever.
The players, are you talking about golf or the career? I think the players have so much respect for what Tiger did. I think from my understanding and what, I mean, now this is all I do is just hear. From my understanding, what I read on the outside looking in is that while Tiger was not liked per se personally by the other members of the tour, very much respected, and people acknowledged what he did for the sport, and they acknowledged that he's the one that got people private jets. He's the one who, you know, the purses that used to be $1 million are $8 million, you know. So I think they're very appreciative of Tiger. And from what they're saying, now he's come back as a more humble, more mm-hmm. trying to be one of the guys type of thing. And I think that might, I think that might have something to do with it too, because one of the biggest things about Tiger was always the intimidation factor. The people were scared of him. You remember the commercials when the people, he'd just be standing over top of you and people would just be shaking. Yeah. Like, because Tiger's just standing there staring at you.
Right.
And apparently that's gone. They say, you know, people aren't scared of Tiger anymore.
Right. Yeah.
That's, you know, good luck to Tiger, though. Good luck to Tiger. I didn't know that you watched it that much. That's good to know, though. Did you watch any of it, anyone, or follow it at all?
Yeah.
Good answer. as I was thinking, while you were gone, there was random things that happened that I would be like, I wish DJ was here, that I wanted to ask you. So I just had, like, just random thoughts that I just wanted to ask you that have no flow or concept of doing anything with the show. You can just answer them shortly. You can go in depth, not go in depth. There really is no even connection to them. As the draft approaches and they start talking about quarterbacks, as a Giants fan, Eli, are you done with Eli? Or where are you staying with Eli as your quarterback?
Definitely not done with Eli. Last year, I was starting to be like, you know what? I'm done with him. It's over. But then when I really looked at, you know, looking at Eli's numbers, this, if not his best year, is one of his best years.
Yeah, he statistically, he actually had, I think what happened was people were so down on, like, the expectations for Eli were so low that it's like he silently stuck in the back door and had like a solid season, you know, and it was like everybody just spent so much time saying how much Eli sucked that it's like by the time you looked up, it was like, you know, Eli actually didn't have a bad year.
No, he had a good year. Did you look at his numbers? They're pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, at the end, once Beckham was, you could put Beckham down for 200 yards receiving off rip.
Yeah.
To begin with, so that's
what happened. Yeah.
So you're not ready to give up on Eli?
Nah, I'm not ready. Once Victor Cruz comes back healthy and Beckham in there, I'm good.
Okay,
Eli.
Second random thought, and it's actually been on my mind for years. Why isn't Joe Johnson better? Who is Joe Johnson? Give me that. This guy has no. If you pull up Joe Johnson box scores, he can give you less than 10 points for 15 games in a row, score 30, go right back. It all over the place.
Joe is just a cool guy, man. That's just how he is. That's how he plays. I mean, really, when you look at it, Joe's probably an overachiever. I mean, I don't
really.
I mean, when Joe was first drafted in Boston, you know,
to go to Arkansas.
Yeah, they really didn't want Joe.
I forgot about Boston.
Yeah, and then exactly.
I always think about him just straight in Phoenix.
When he went to Phoenix, you know, playing out there with Nash, you know, everybody who was playing with Nash was getting money, and you know, they were playing well, and you know, he got a chance to go to Atlanta, and it was kind of his show. He was putting them on his back, and you know. Doing this thing for a while now, but you know he's not that young no more.
No, his career just to me is I remember those Phoenix series, and like you said, I remember he used to play a lot of backup point guard, which a lot of people don't remember. Mm-hmm. Is that when Nash went down, he played the backup point guard position, which ultimately drove his stock through the roof. That he could pretty much play 1 through 3,
right?
And if you wanted to go small on those Olympic teams, they were playing him at the 4. You know what I mean? Because he's a solid guy. And it was like just watching his career, it just seemed like he was always like star and never went superstar. You know what I mean? Got paid superstar money, right? Big time. And he was in Atlanta, had his own team in Atlanta for 4 or 5, maybe 6 years. I don't have the exact number. And the Hawks were always a 6, 7 seed, mm-hmm. 4 seed, maybe knocked out first round. Never a threat to win anything. And it was like Joe would just kind of be there hovering around at 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, maybe a couple more rebounds, maybe a couple more assists. And I always felt like he should have been a superstar, and it just never really went to that level.
I don't know if he's flashy enough to be a superstar. He's not an athlete. He's not out there dunking. He's just kind of just being cool, but he just was getting it done. I mean, he was really – when Cleveland, they was double-teaming him, you know, at the three-point line. You mm-hmm. know, that's how much of a threat he was. But I look at it differently because he came out of high school with me. He wasn't McDonald's All-American, and him and Jamal Crawford neither was McDonald's All-American. They probably were the best players to come out of our class.
He was a
99.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did I think he was younger than us? Mm-mm. Really?
So for me to see, you know, what Joe has done through his career.
So you're saying, what you're saying is you're looking at like, I never expected any of this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I can definitely, I can understand. It just, I've always wondered, like, because the Atlanta thing, I felt like he didn't have exactly the best supporting cast. So then when he got hooked up with Jersey, I expected that Jersey team to be a lot better last year.
I did too.
And they weren't. They never were. And then, you know, this year, a lot of times he was the only healthy body they had, and he still didn't put up numbers.
But, you know, sometimes it just depends on the coaching. Like, what kind of offense are you running? Joe's the type of player who needs the ball in his hand. He can get his ISOs. He can get his post-ups. But some coaches run a different offense that don't allow you to do the things that you were doing before.
And then last random one, and then we'll get into the rest of the stuff. Have you seen enough to say that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry is the best shooting backcourt? I don't believe in saying of all time because I only personally believe in speaking about what you've seen with your own two eyes. Mm-hmm. Speculating about what two people did before you were even born is nothing more than just, you know, your guess. So are they the best shooting backcourt that you've ever seen?
Yeah.
And before them, who would you have said?
I don't know. I gotta put some thought to that one.
Who's the best shooter you ever seen and that you've ever played with?
That I ever played with?
Yeah, like that you saw in practice and was like, this guy just doesn't miss, period.
Brent Berry.
This is ridiculous. Is it something that, as you're a shooter, right? That's what you do, that's why you're in the NBA.
Right.
Do you, as a shooter, look at certain people and be like, wow, that dude doesn't miss?
I haven't played on a team with a guy like that because, like, when I was on a team with these guys, I'm shooting right with him. I'm winning shooting competitions. you know, as good as a shooter, JR's been knocking down threes crazy lately. And I felt like, you know, I shot the ball better than he did. But so, he's so also, you know, one of the better shooters I've played with, Wesley Person, Jason Terry.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had Jason Terry more as a streak shooter.
No, he is. I mean, but
same with JR.
I haven't played with, you know.
I locked in.
A lot of, actually, Allen Houston.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was, yeah, he was definitely, And on that, who else was on that Spurs team? That wasn't, I thought like there was, no, Kerr wasn't there.
No.
Kerr was already gone.
No, only real shooter was.
Brent Berry,
and, I guess if you want to consider Matt Bonner.
Bonner.
A shooter.
Yeah. He's a shooter.
Yeah.
But you feel like Curry, I'm watching Curry, and what I see Curry doing right now is unreal. I was watching the game on Monday, I think it was, and I texted you, and I was like, he does video game stuff in real life.
I've been keeping up with this stuff since I was small for a long time, and shooting has always been, you know, something I've always admired and paid attention to, and so far, Curry is the best I've seen.
I would agree. And also, who's also fun to watch and is really flying under the radar, I guess, because of what Curry and Klay Thompson is doing, Kyle Korver is a mean dude.
Yes, he is. Yes,
that he dude is right there with him. You know what I mean? Like,
nah, he is. It's just different because they take different shots.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Korver, you know, sometimes he takes some quick ones. You know,
oh, he takes a lot of quick ones.
Yeah, yeah. But he shoots it quick too. But he's also
a lot taller. Yeah, a lot taller.
But the shots that Curry take off the dribble, hands in his face, he can't even get his full follow through. He's like off balance. It's unbelievable for him to shoot the percentage that he shoots.
It is.
Takes the shots.
The shots that
he
takes
is unbelievable.
Unreal. That's why I watch, and that's why I agree, is that when you see the type of shots that he takes, because he takes the same type of shots that, say, something like Kobe would take, and mm-hmm. hence the reason Kobe's three-point percentage, if you look at his numbers, you would think he's a bad three-point shooter. Right. No, he takes terrible shots.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. But he has a three-point percentage that's up there with standstill shooters, you know, right. Like a Steve Kerr type of guy mm-hmm. who's taking shots, mm-hmm. and he's just taking shots off the dribble, off a crossover, hand in his face. I mean, unreal.
It's crazy. There's no way you should shoot the percentage you shoot.
No, there definitely shouldn't. Now, that being said, we can say, well, let's go back and do the MVP. Have you told me? I don't think we've gotten to that yet. You weren't here. Who's your MVP?
Curry.
Curry?
Mm-hmm.
And then who would you have second?
Harden.
Okay. I don't think there's a wrong answer to this. I think those are the only two candidates that it should come down to. I think Russell Westbrook has literally shot himself right out of the the discussion. It was like his numbers are amazing, but I mean the 43 shots, goodness gracious, and it's become almost weekly now that one game out of the week he puts up 30 something, 40 mm-hmm. shots. You know what I mean? And not to mention they're going to be the AC and he missed that many games, but not to take anything away from him, still an amazing season. The tiebreaker to me between Harden and Curry is, I feel like James Harden is carrying a much larger burden. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Steph Curry, you see Golden State wins games where they can win a game with him scoring 15 points. You know what I mean? It's right. Like James Harden, he is everything to the Rockets. Okay. Dwight Howard hasn't been there this year, and I don't even think Dwight Howard's that good anymore. Okay. You know, so when you look at it, I say Steph Curry has Klay. Steph Curry has a very nice team. I like that team. Draymond Green had an amazing season out of nowhere. I mean, they're running deep. David Lee's over there getting coaches' decisions. He can't even get on the floor. If he was on the Rockets, he'd be starting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Iguodala would probably start on the Rockets. He's second or third man off the bench. Bogut's played an amazing season when he's played. Like, the point is they have a great supporting cast, and he's the best player on the best team in basketball. Get it? James Harden has a team that is, I don't really think, is that even good on paper, and they're the fourth or fifth seed in the West.
I don't think that team is that bad. I think
other
guys have stepped up and played their role on that team. I mean, Josh Smith came in and he's doing a lot of creating. You know, Trevor Rees is, you know, he had a pretty good season. You know, he plays both sides of the court. And, I mean, I think guys out there just doing their job. And with Steph Curry, it's like, I look at, like, when they go out, they beat the Spurs pretty bad. Next game, Steph Curry don't play. Everybody's there. They lose to Indiana. It's like, even if he's not doing all the scoring, even if he only got 20 assists. The attention that he draws himself is what allows Draymond Green to be open for that three or Bogut to get a dunk. Just his attention that he draws.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I don't want to take anything away from Curry.
Right.
I don't want to take anything away from Curry. I think Curry is amazing, and I think he's the funnest player in basketball to watch right now.
And what I heard, and I heard something last night, and that's hard to believe. They say he set out 18 fourth quarters this year.
I heard that. I know the number was very high, and then since then he set out like two since the time that they said it on TNT. He's definitely has, because that's how many times, that's how much they're up. Whereas though, it goes kind of piggybacks on what I'm saying, is that Harden doesn't have that luxury. Like, in order for the Rockets to win, Harden has to be Superman every night, just about. You know what I mean? Like, he's scoring 30 and 40 points, and they're winning by two. He's not sitting out any fourth quarters. You know, I mean, that team needs every bucket that he gives them. Right. He just does so much besides play defense. Doesn't do that.
Yeah. No, he don't do that. And a lot of, like, with the Spurs, you know, how they've been having guys hurt all year. Guys being injured has been allowing, you know, Houston. He's been there all year. He's been consistent. Has been allowed them to be in the third spot.
Yeah, I mean, being in that playoff race in the West is just so tough to begin with. And
being hurt, I mean, if everybody was healthy all year and played, that team wouldn't be in the third spot in the West.
I
don't think so. I mean, maybe they wouldn't be in the third, no, because OKC would be a lot higher.
That's a fair argument, but I mean, I don't have a problem with that argument at all.
Golden State will probably still be number one.
That's probably true too.
Ahead of everybody with KD there and everything.
Yeah, that I can't go against that. Who would you call off Coach of the Year?
You might got to give it to Kerr. I mean, they so far ahead of everybody. I mean, what they got? 66 games.
66 games.
That's crazy. First year coach.
Am I wrong in that they have to, because so much what's being thrown under the bus, and as Curry gets all the praise. Just not trying to take any praise away from anybody. Cool, I get it. 66 wins, rookie team. Didn't exactly inherit the Clipper, the old Clippers teams or anything like that.
Right.
Inherited a nice little squad. Mark Jackson got fired for what happened in the postseason. Don't you feel like all the praise for Steve Kerr and all the criticism for Mark Jackson needs to be held off until we see them do something in the playoffs?
No, I thought Mark Jackson was fired because he just didn't get along with the owners.
It had
nothing to do with his performance as a coach. And Steve Kerr, I mean, he could have took over. He took over, you know, a pretty good team, but they didn't have to come out here and win 66 games. You know, they really stepped it up. Them guys are playing defense, top defense in the league. They wasn't that last year. That's stuff that he's, you know, installing in them.
Okay, I hear you. I'm not gonna argue that. I mean, I just feel, because all this talk, I thought Golden State was good last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And whereas though, I've always felt like these things that people say about Western Conference teams and people not advancing, to me, it's crazy to me. Like, the way NBA history is being and people's memories is being written right now, as if like the East and Western Conference are equal. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. And it's not like this concept when they're going to say LeBron's been to four, he's going to be the fifth finals in a row. Like, the Eastern, that needs to be an asterisk next to that, dude. Yeah. Like, you know, beating the Pacers or the Celtics in the first round of the playoffs and then the Bucks in the second round, like, that's not impressive to me. You know what I mean? And likewise, I don't see the criticism of losing to the Spurs in the second round of the playoffs. You know, he can't get out the first round. Right. Like, yo, he played the NBA champion right. in the first round.
Right.
He just happened to play him in the first round.
Right.
And that happens to a lot of these guys. That used to be the knock on Melo all those years there in Denver. Obviously, mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you were there. Mm-hmm. And it was like, he can't get out the first round. But LeBron, you know, LeBron's, come on, man. Melo had the Nuggets in the playoffs every single year in a Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And they were losing to the Lakers, a Spurs. Come on. Like, that's not fair. That's not apples to apples there with those comparisons.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
You know, so that's how I feel about, you know, the Mark Jackson thing. I just, as long as, like I said, when you look at this Western Conference thing, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it right now. The only two teams that I'm not scared of, or I don't even want to say that I don't think have a chance to win the championship, are the Rockets and the Trailblazers. Excluding, obviously, the eighth seed, whether it's the Pelicans or the Thunder, right. Excluding them two. I look at that. I don't want to play Golden State in the first round. I don't want to play the Spurs in the first round. I don't want to play the Clippers in the first round. I don't want to play the Grizzlies in the first.
But last year when you looked at Golden State, there's probably at least four teams that you would have been like, Golden State can't beat them teams in the series. Now, the Spurs might be the only team that you'll say, okay, this team might beat Golden State.
So you mean to tell me if the Clippers beat the Warriors in a 7-game series, you'd be shocked?
This year, yeah.
You'd be shocked? Not saying you expect it to happen, but you'd be like, wow, I didn't see this coming?
It can happen. But like last year, it's like, nah, Golden State can't get the Clippers. Now it's like, you know, it'll be an upset.
Really? When I watched, especially, like I said, I don't remember if it was right before you came home, or I don't know if, did you see the last time Golden State and the Clippers played?
No.
It was like, probably like maybe 2 days before you came home.
Yeah.
Amazing game. Amazing game. And the Clippers were missing, Jamal Crawford still wasn't back.
Right.
And I believe maybe one other player. But the point is, if you see those two teams on the court at the same time, I don't think the difference is major. I feel like a call here or there, that's the type of thing that can decide a series. A one twisted ankle to a Draymond Green or a Matt Barnes could decide a series like that.
I give Steve Kerr, you know, credit, because I feel like the Clippers are a better team. They have a better roster. They have guys. They have two athletic guys, you know, that Blake Griffin can post up and get you buckets. They don't have nobody on Golden State you can post up.
I watched a lot of Clippers games, a lot. If they play 82, I probably watched almost 45, if not 50 of them. Blake Griffin flies under the radar so much. That dude is a lot better than people think he is. He's not Hakeem Olajuwon. No, he's not, okay? And I think people want to talk about his bat. Not a lot of people realize how good at passing the ball he is.
Right.
He's a very good low post passer. He plays hard, and every once in a blue moon, he's working on his 13-foot jumper. He's working on it.
He's hitting threes now. He's seen him hit step backs. He's worked on his game a lot.
You can tell. You see the confidence that he dribbles with?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's come a long way. And again, it's easy to poke fun at him because, no, he doesn't have Hakeem Olajuwon's footwork or anything like that. And that's the easy thing to make fun of. Or, you know, he doesn't look like Charles Barkley on the block or anything like that. And that's fine. It's easy to say what somebody isn't. He's still a very good basketball player.
Very good. How many power forwards are better than him?
That's a great question. And off the top of my head, is he not the best power forward in basketball?
It's arguable.
you know what I mean?
So when you think about that Clippers team, you got, you know, maybe one, two, or three power forward. Maybe one, two, or three point guard.
Absolutely.
I mean,
one most dominant center, right? Yeah. Defensively, or easily, I'd imagine he'll probably be defensive player of the year,
yeah.
or whatever the case may be. And I would say JJ's as good a shooter as there is. And if you have Curry and Klay Thompson is 1A, he's in that next tier. He's like right below them.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's having an excellent year. He's gotten a lot better too.
You got Jamal Crawford, who comes off your bench and is going to give you 18 to 20 points.
Yeah, no, I like the Clippers team, and hence to me why I feel like this West, when you look at, we can make an argument for that, and we could say, if we sit here and we say the same thing about Memphis, we'd say, man, you love Gasol, Zebo combination, you love Tony Allen defending, you like Conley, you know what I'm saying, and we could say that about these teams. And the fact is that there's 8 teams, and after the four of those teams are going home in the first round. And somebody's going to be saying, what a disappointing year that they lost in the first round. And I don't think that. I don't think there's any shame to losing to Golden State in the first round. There's no shame to losing to San Antonio in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like there is shame. I think what's a shame is that the Bucks are in the playoffs.
Right.
That the Pacers are in the playoffs. That the Celtics are in. That's what's a shame.
Yeah.
That the Wizards were allowed to lose essentially for a month straight. They lost 80% of the time. They took the court for a month straight.
Mm-hmm.
And they slid all the way to the 5th seed. Like, that's unreal. You can't do that in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
You'd be out of the playoffs so fast, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I heard they were going to try to maybe look into that. Just try to have the, you know, the best teams with the best records get in.
I don't see that ever happening, though.
Yeah. That'd be hard to do, but it's...
It'd like be hard said, to do from a lot of...
It's becoming laughable.
It is. And not only that, I feel like especially just because it just so happens to be that it's the Western Conference, that these games are coming on after. So when this playoff start at 7 o'clock, you're going to be watching the Wizards playing the Raptors. And you're going to be watching the Pacers play the Cavs. And and then you're going to have to wait till 10:30 to see a Golden State game, mm-hmm. to see a Clippers game. And that's not good for the brand.
Yeah.
It's just not for the entire East Coast market, you know. So I feel like you got to find some kind of, and these, I can't stress enough how bad these matchups are in the Eastern Conference.
And yeah, I have no interest in any of those games.
None. None. And lost in all of this, and I've said it before, is the fact that I feel like once again, LeBron James is handed a free walk to the NBA Finals.
But also, LeBron James, after that trade, his team is pretty good, man. They load him up, man. They got a really good team. They can win the NBA Finals.
Yes, but here's my and very easy, because you know why? 50% of it is showing up. You know what I mean? Isn't that what 80% of life is showing up? Mm-hmm. And you know who has the best chance? Like, whereas though the Cavaliers are the only team. If I have to pick one team out of 16 teams that are going to the finals, I'm picking them.
Right.
It's not because easily. Of them.
Easily.
It's because that's the easiest road.
Easily. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now, could they win an NBA title? Yes, because I do think they have a chance to beat any one of those teams in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. Do I think, now, here's the flip side. I don't think that they would beat three of those teams in the West. You right. know what I mean? Which right. is what one of these teams in the West is going to have to do. And likewise, that Heat team, I feel like, that team will buy, that if he had stayed there 4 years, they might have won one title if they were in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I don't think they make three conferences. I don't think they make three NBA finals yeah. playing in the Western Conference.
Yeah, you're right. Especially with, you know, Derrick Rose being hurt, and it's been just been easier for them. Paul George being hurt.
They caught that Celtics team at the end, mm-hmm. and which gave them a run for their money up until they were completely done. And then the only other team that's been able to have their number are the Pacers. And then remember the Pacers, they caught Danny Granger was hurt. The first year, and then the other year, it was it David West who was hurt? One of the Pacers' main players got hurt again. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the Paul George era, they just done, and then Derrick Rose just never clicked.
Yeah.
Next, you know, they got four straight trips to the finals, and LeBron's gonna get another one. And there's no reason to see why he wouldn't next year too. There's no team I look on here and say next year, look out for them.
Yeah, I think KD might should think about making a move to the Eastern Conference, man.
I feel like it was just one more way that LeBron James outsmarted everybody else. You know, it was just like, hey, guys, it was just such a power move in terms of he's never even crossed his mind to enter the Western to go West. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I feel like while all the teams, everybody else is migrating to the West in an attempt to load up, you know, because the West is so deep. And I think LeBron's like, these idiots don't realize that straight shortcut to the finals is one team.
What you got to look at is, you know, Melo moved to the East, and he didn't do much better.
No, Melo's, first of all, he didn't move to the East. He moved to the Knicks. Like, so they just happened to be in the East. You know what I mean? They're terrible organization.
Yeah. He had JR, which JR's playing some of his best basketball right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you speak to that? I'm one of Melo's biggest fans, supporters, and it's a hard job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You why? What is it? What is the reason? Give me the what is you played with the guy for 3-4 years, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. He's not a bad teammate, is he?
No. No.
What is
I don't
it?
Know. It's he's a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he is. He's not He's not, you know, great defensively. He's not great, you know, making other guys better. He's a scorer. And, I mean, that's just, you know, what he is. And, you know, what you got to be, when you're going to be great, when you got great teams, you got a guy like LeBron who's also a great scorer, but he also makes everybody else better. And then a team like San Antonio where nobody's a great scorer, but everybody makes everybody better. And, you know, well, Carmelo, he just hasn't gotten past. He look, I put the ball in the hole.
Right. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
And if anybody would like to come watch me put the ball in the hole, right. You get, right. You know, you're more than welcome to be on my team. And if you'd like to get the rebounds, which for some reason it doesn't go in, you can do that. But other than that, so what happens to Melo then? Does that just become his career? He just goes down in history as a great scorer? Or just another great scorer?
Well, it's not over yet, so we don't know. Hopefully, Phil, he gets some stuff done over there. And he put a good enough team around Carmelo where, you know, he can get in a position, you know, to make it to a finals and win one.
how much of it is the people around Melo need to get better, and how much is it that Melo needs to change?
It's both.
Which one more? Which one? The Knicks, if the... What is right. Is it more like he needs to get players around him, or
right
is it
now,
that he needs to adapt to what he's doing?
Right now is more the players, because he don't have nothing around him.
Yeah, now he has absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but before, you know, well, like you say, when we was in Denver and we had, I mean, our team, talent-wise, were a lot better than the Spurs team.
Stacked.
But you know, we'd win the first game every time, and then they would adjust, and we won't win anymore.
You know who your coach was, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just said that for those who have missed that argument that we had before.
MG doesn't like George
too much. Yeah, I'm not here to make you say anything bad about coach. I don't know. A1, did you hear what I just heard? That sounded like you said we got out coach. He said they make adjustments and we had no idea what we were doing. That's what it sounded like to me. But, you know, what do I know?
So what's your opinion on George Karl as a coach? Because I think he's a great coach.
George is a great basketball coach. George understands the game.
It's soccer that gets
very, very well. And you know, man, George has had this conversation before. He was like, you know, I know this game. You know, I'm a great basketball coach, but it's just being a, you know, psychiatrist dealing with all these different guys is, you know, the part that, you know, I'm not really a big fan of. And sometimes like, he's a player's coach, though. Like, you know, he does little stuff. You know, he does, like, bribes and stuff. Like, you score 100 points, no practice tomorrow. Or, you know, you make this half-court shot and little stuff that guys like. But he also has a, you know, ego, you know, as big as the players, too. And, you know, sometimes that kind of clashes with certain guys.
Not to cut you off. Is that uncommon, though, at the NBA level? The ego thing?
That's the most I've seen.
Really?
Yeah. Popovich doesn't walk around with an ego at all.
I'm shocked by that. I thought at that level were the names, at that level, a lot of those coaches are just as famous as the players.
You could be famous, but it just depends on how you deal with the players.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, George might not deal with certain guys. Like, if you know this guy right here is going to react a certain way to this, okay, you can't deal with this guy how you deal with this guy.
Right.
Pop understands that perfectly. George doesn't. He doesn't care.
And you said you think it's based, grounded in ego, just in terms of he's not going to change who he is.
Yeah, he told me, he was like, man, I've won a lot of games. I've done everything except win the NBA title. I don't need any more money. I'm set for life. You know, I'm good, basically. Mm-hmm. I ain't really got to, you know, put up with this, basically.
All right. That answer your question? I'm baffled. I didn't know that you thought George Karl was a good coach.
He's 1,000 wins. Like, how many coaches have done that?
No, basketball-wise, his speeches are great. Like, before the game, after the game, like, you know, gets you going. He knows basketball very well. Like, the level of coaching from before when he came in and when he got there is, man, unbelievable.
Again, not to put you in a position to say anything. But like you said something very telling in it. You said, you know, we'd win the first game and then they would make adjustments. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting there and you're a player and you're watching the team, like you said, the Spurs, that team, you guys had Iverson, Melo, Kmart, yourself. Just loaded. Mm-hmm. And it would happen every year. Mm-hmm. As a player, aren't you like, why are we losing?
Well, just like you said before, there's no shame in losing to the Spurs.
No. But if you feel like it's not a shame.
Like you're more talented than them.
Right.
But you can, just because you got all the talent on the floor, them guys gotta know how to play together. And that's where it's not all on George. It's some on George. Some maybe on Melo. You know, them guys, you know, Bruce Bowen. And one year we lost to the Clippers and you had the kid Ross or something out there. They were really frustrating Melo. Like, you know. Like
Kevin Ross? Kevin Ross?
I forget his name. He was small, too.
I wanted to say Mike Ross, but that's the guy on suits. But I know he was a light-skinned dude, right?
Nah, he was brown.
I used to play with the Clippers.
He was a
three, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they frustrated Melo.
Kevin Ross. Might be wrong.
And, like, they had a perfect scheme, you know, against us. You know, they Bruce Bourne, be elbowing Melo on his back. He'd sit on the middle and make Melo turn baseline. As soon as Melo turned baseline, there's Tim Duncan. So you got Melo, who's the scorer, not the facilitator. He's trying to turn baseline. He's turning to Tim Duncan, and you know their plan is working.
I feel like it's easy when you have one dominant player like a Carmelo. Yeah. I feel like that's an easy adjustment to make. Shut down Melo. What are they going to do? You know what I mean?
Right. So now then again, does that come on? Again, we're just learning from you, and we're taking a back seat and listening to your expertise. Is that when, in this scenario here, loosely based scenario, is that, who's that on? Is that on Melo? Is that not why Carl is there? It's not on Melo to outsmart Popovich. Am I wrong? Is it not?
No, but I mean, you have to be there. I mean, because
if you shut down Melo, like he said, the goal is to shut down Melo. Mm-hmm. Isn't it not on Melo? Isn't it on Carl to find a way to free him up?
Melo was freed up, and Melo, you know, he would do his thing, but it's like at the account of nobody else doing theirs. And George Carl would say some things for us to do, and that don't mean people do them.
Right.
You know, so it's not all on him. That's what I was saying. You have to be there.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of stuff that I can't sit here and say, you know, happens out there.
Right.
Yeah.
I can definitely respect that. I just wonder if a guy, let me ask you this then. If you take, because Melo, the team that they surrounded him in right now in New York is terrible. Mm-hmm. You take Melo off and you put him in Cleveland, or any one of these teams, right? You on any one of these superstars that are succeeding right now, whether it be James Harden, whether it be Dirk, in, you take any one of them and you say you put Melo in Houston with James Harden's support. You put Melo in Memphis. You put Melo in on the Clippers instead of Blake Griffin.
Who are you taking off of Memphis? You put Melo in Memphis, they're going to win, because they already play defense. All they need is somebody to go in and do what Melo does.
What about Melo for LeBron swap in Cleveland?
You put Melo in Cleveland, Cleveland's still going to win. You put LeBron in New York.
Championship win, not win games.
With the rest of that team there, they can still get to the finals with Melo on there, because they got a good big man who can defense and score. Jay out there hitting shots. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. They just got a good team. But I think with LeBron in New York, even with that team, if everybody healthy, Bonyani, say everybody's healthy, that team's going to make the playoffs.
With the when the Iverson, just baffled by this one, Iverson, Melo, same time, was that, what did you think about that before it happened? And what did you think about while it was going on? It's a lot of shots, and you're a shooter. That doesn't leave many.
Right. Well, when Allen first came, it was during the time when Melo was suspended for the fight that happened in New York.
Right.
So when he got there, it was, you know, basically he had to kind of, you know, do everything. JL was suspended. Kenyon was hurt. You know, Melo was suspended. So,
you were short bodies. I remember that. Big time.
Short bodies, yeah. So, but when Melo came back, no, AI, you know, we hung together every day, and he just was basically saying that I won 4 scoring titles. I don't care about scoring.
Okay.
Like, Melo can have that. I'm too old for that. I want to win a championship. I can care less about scoring. He had mentioned one time, he was like, the first time he ever got, like, blatantly, like, looked off, you know, like on a break or something like that. You know, he used to get in the ball, but he was like, man, he can have all them accolades. I got him.
Okay. So it was never a problem then?
No.
I say that because now, how did you see watching the two scores? And I'm getting somewhere with this because, again, as we talked last time, I look at certain things. The Rondo, this is one of my biggest questions going into this playoffs is Rondo. I got him as like question mark, just a huge question mark, because Rondo can be as good as any point guard in basketball.
Right.
And he can be as bad as any point guard in basketball too. So it's like, we said it on the last show, I feel like Rondo, Monte, not a good match. Two great players, just not a good match. Do you see any similarities between that and Iverson Melo sort of situation, and that they both require the ball?
No, not really, because both of them can, you know, they can pick their spots. Melo, you can throw the ball to Melo mostly in a post. He don't need to bring the ball up the court and create that way. And Allen, you know, he can bring the ball up and kind of, you know, choose whether he want to throw the ball in the Melo, or if they backing up off him, take his shot or take his opportunity. They both
So you didn't see a conflict of interest there?
Nah, I didn't.
Okay.
Well, not as much as you would think.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it worked out pretty well.
What do you see with the Mavericks? What do you see? Do you see the question mark? When I say I find them as a huge question mark, do you see what I'm saying? Do you agree with it?
Yeah, I do agree. I don't like Rondo there.
It's a very weird fit.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think with Dirk and Monte, that you need a point guard that can be able to spot up and knock down shots.
Jesus, that's not what he does.
Yeah.
At all. Now, would you be 100% surprised, though, if the Mavericks made some noise in the playoffs?
No, because, I mean, even with that being said, Rondo is experienced, and he is a good point guard, and he got a ring. You know, he can make things happen out there. All of them guys got a ring.
Just about everybody on it, right? Tyson Chandler's back over there now. Yeah. Only one who doesn't, I guess, would be Amari. Monte doesn't. They got him. What say you, A1? I'm on the Rondo and Dallas thing.
I thought it was a good move when it happened. Me too. I mean, like you said, it just doesn't look a good fit right now. Yeah. But I think you addressed this earlier that you might have thought that might have been a move more for the playoffs than the regular season. So I guess, I don't know, maybe when the playoffs start, they'll pull something out of like their hat or something. I don't know. But right now, it doesn't look like a good fit at all.
Yeah, when it happened, I was like, ooh, Dallas made a move.
Big time.
But I didn't really think about, you know, okay, well,
the linguistics of it.
Yeah, Monte's going to need the ball in his hands.
A lot.
Dirk's going to need the ball. You got to do is just throw the ball to Dirk in a spot and basically go spot up when the double team comes. And that's not the kind of player Rondo is. He just, you run with him, he's going to get you the ball. You spot up, he's going to get you the ball. If not, he's going to lay it up.
And I don't even see, and the thing is, Monte's not a knockdown shooter either.
No, he's a volume shooter. He needs the ball in his hands.
Right. Yeah. So in the scenario, excuse me, what you said with Dirk and you're running the offense through Dirk. If Dirk is standing there in the pivot, who's he kicking the ball? Monte's not keeping the defense honest. Rondo damn sure isn't keeping the defense honest.
But another player also who likes, you know, to create and play with the ball in his hands. And, you know, he can knock down open shots, but he also likes to get in the lane and dunk or get in the lane and, you know, make passes.
Right. Now, we don't know because we're not in that locker room. How much do you read into, or do you think it's just overblown, Rondo and Carlisle? I think there's a lot. I normally think all that stuff is overblown. I don't believe in that stuff. But Rondo looks like he's a legit head case, or I don't know what you.
I've heard before that you know, Rondo is hard to coach.
Right.
But I don't know that. I mean, every time I've been around Rondo, he seems completely cool. But, I mean, I don't know. I've heard this, though. It's not coming from nowhere, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I noticed, just because I watched a lot of Rondo, and I've been a Rondo fan for a while, like, I keep an eye on his minutes since he's been in the Mavericks. And he's got some real sporadic minutes. And, like, mm-hmm. I just read into that. And, like, I don't think that's – like, I'll see a box score where Rondo had 19 minutes, 23 minutes. I'm like, I don't think that sits good well with him. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing about Carlisle,
mm-hmm.
he's a lot of people really see him as a top coach.
Oh yeah,
I've seen games where I've seen Devin Harris out there
in the fourth
playing well though, playing mm-hmm. well. So you leave him in the game. Where Carlisle, he's won a championship. He don't need to kiss, you know, Rondo's behind. If you're not out there doing what we need you to do for the team, if Devin Harris is, you know, playing well, we're going to leave him in the game.
But do you think that sits well? And
no.
Everything you agree with, I agree 1,000%.
Doesn't sit well with Rondo.
Right. No. Okay. So that's my point. Like, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the fact that Carlisle has all those accolades and all that just makes it, whereas though Rondo doesn't even really have the platform to challenge him and say, hey, you know, X, Y, and Z, because I've surely won one without you, so you can go on your way.
Right.
Rondo, thank you very much. Don't let the door hit you. You know what I mean? And mind you, this is his free agent year, so he needs it be in his best interest to be on his best behavior
right
now. I don't think everything is cool with them, and I feel like in order for them to be successful, everything does need to be cool with them.
It's looking like they're going to face the Spurs.
Which, speak on that, we could – talk about a team that two, 3 weeks ago, or at least a month ago, people were leaving for dead. It's finally over, getting old, last, you know, da-da-da-da, and they look like the best team in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought that. You know how the media is. They're gonna create stories. The Spurs are always going to be tough, man. And as long as I feel like Popovich is their coach, they're always going to be tough and competitive. But Dallas always plays them well. I think that'll be an interesting series.
Here's a statement. Tell me if you agree with this. I feel like do you think that Kawhi Leonard, has value outside of the Spurs? Follow me in that. I feel like he's the perfect piece on the Spurs. Mm-hmm. You put him on the Jazz, and they don't get any better. You put him on, if the Lakers were to max him out, no better of a team. If the Kings maxed him out, no better of a team. Do you feel that way? I feel like he's invaluable to the Spurs. Like I feel like he's a perfect young cog, mm-hmm. him and Danny Green. But I feel like you separate them and put them on other teams, and they're just – players running up and down the court, almost Lance Stephenson. You know what I mean? Just the attitude.
Let's not compare him and Danny Green.
No. I feel like Danny Green fits great on the Spurs. I feel like Danny Green borderline might not be in the NBA on other teams. That's what I'm saying.
Danny Green was almost. He could easily not be in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Kawhi Leonard is going to get the max.
Yeah. What I meant is what their value to the team.
Right now. I'm not quite where you are with it. I see what you're thinking. I do think he's perfect on that team. I think he's gotten a lot better. I mean, he's doing things I didn't think he would be able to do in the league. I think if he go to another team, he will make that team better, but he won't be, a guy that's going to be out there getting you 25 a night and taking a team on his back to the finals or anything.
If you found out tomorrow that the Magic signed Kawhi Leonard, we wouldn't say I got to put them in as a favorite to win the championship.
I do think he will make any team he's on better. Mm-hmm. That's how much he does a lot on the floor.
Absolutely,
he does a lot. I'm really impressed by him.
But you're not ready to build a team around him.
Nowadays everybody need more pieces than just one player because you got guys are stacking all the best players mm-hmm. on one and two teams. I mean, everybody needs more than just that. But he will. I mean. Like you say, the Lakers or somebody like that, he will make them teams better. But I do think that team gets the most out of him. I would like to see if he goes somewhere else and he's still able to do all that.
What do you think is going to happen? Because the Spurs don't pay people.
Spurs are going to pay him.
They got to pay him, yeah.
Spurs are going to pay
Max?
Him.
Max?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Or close. Spurs are going to pay him. They're not paying anybody else like that. Ginobili's done getting money. Tim's taking a pay cut. Maybe Tony could get some, but they're not paying anybody else. They're going to pay him.
So you expect to see him back then?
Yeah, yeah.
Why was this non-playoff related? Is the big, like, DeMarcus Cousins, I told you this 2 years ago, I think, or 3 years ago. I think he's awesome. I think he's awesome, and I think he's the only big man left in the NBA, really. And his team won 28 games, and he's essentially had MVP numbers. Like, do you think the big man is like, almost dead?
No, I mean,
in a league with no big men, he's the best big man by a mile. And
I don't know if it's by a mile. Paul Marc Gasol is pretty good.
If you put what Cousins does numbers wise versus
numbers wise,
I mean they're not even close.
Yeah, like, numbers wise, they're asked to do different things for their team. Just like you say, his team won 28 games.
Right.
But Marc Gasol, he was on Sacramento and he got the ball. As much as Cousins.
You think he would put those numbers up?
No, but he will put, okay. I think, it maybe won't be 24. I think he'll get 19, 20, and 12.
Right.
And he's a better defender.
Cousins is amazing.
He's amazing.
And essentially irrelevant.
He is.
It's
that team that he's on. I mean, I still think having a good big man is important.
What say you, A1? I feel like it's almost.
I mean, like, outside of him and Rudy Gay, like.
They're bad. There's no mistake about it. They're bad. But it's just when there's such a shortage of something and you have one of them.
Started off doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And,
kind
of fell off.
It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Right.
Like, as if he wasn't upholding some sort of winning tradition that they had or something. And then it just kind of went like a while without a coach, just hired Carl. It was just like weird. Like,
right.
What the hell was going on there? That was the weirdest thing in the world. We could go on all day.
You never gave your coach of the year?
I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name.
Mike, whatever his last name is,
out there in the Hawks.
Yeah,
I like what the Hawks have done, man. Because when I look at it, it's not in a million years where I think the Hawks are going to win 60 games.
Yeah,
and lost in all of this, and it's been starting to come up now. Because did you know that the Hawks just threw the title GM on the dude and then put him up for GM of the year when this is all Danny Ferry's team. But because you know Danny Ferry's in hiding, yeah, because he's acting like that. So Luol Deng doesn't have a little African in him.
Who did they do that with?
They named him the GM and tried to, because they can't nominate Danny. Somebody needs to take credit for this. You know what I mean? Like, this is a great team.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if he brought the players in and the coach. You know what I mean? Sounds like GM of the year to me, but you can't get GM of the year when you've been suspended by your own team or been sent home. I don't even think he's allowed at the arena.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the point is, somebody needs to get credit for this.
Yeah. And that's not a bad pick, because I'm real cool with Bud. He was, you know, he was behind Pops for a long time, you know, coaching with the Spurs. And that's going to be an interesting matchup if they can somehow get to Cleveland, because they're real similar to the Spurs.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier in the year when Mark was acting like it was like the most ridiculous thing in the world.
No, I just felt like, I mean,
I'm really surprised he didn't leave earlier and get another job. But I am surprised, but I'm not surprised at, you know, the success he's having, because he's probably, out of all the coaches who's left San Antonio and gotten other jobs, he's always been, I feel like, the closest to Pops.
Not Mike Brown? Genius he's turned out to be.
Well, he hasn't been there as long, you know, but Mike had a success.
When?
When he was
LeBron was running the show.
Yeah.
So are you gonna give Blatt credit?
LeBron didn't make one before Mike, did he? I don't
know. Who was the coach before Mike?
I don't know.
LeBron was just getting better. So do you give Blatt credit for what's going on in Cleveland?
I've heard Blatt has had a lot of success coaching. Not
oh,
NBA,
no. I've heard that his resume is amazing.
Yeah, I almost played for Blatt, but yeah, he I heard all good things about him. But yeah, Blatt's gonna get credit, but that team is really good.
They are.
Yeah.
And they're stacked, man. Deep all the way down and everything. Big men reserves. Like they and LeBron's gonna get a lot of now that being said, I do think LeBron deserves credit for the fact that these people were there. You know what I mean? So like, he's the reason they're there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's not take that away from him. Like, none of these players would be in Cleveland if LeBron wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like he should get credit on the GM tip, too. Any scenario where the Bulls are a threat?
Bulls always have a chance just because how well they defend. And if, you know, Derrick Rose looked to be healthy, he's settling for too many jump shots for me. Maybe he's, you know, not trying to, you know, get hurt before the playoffs start. But, yeah, I think the Bulls do have a chance.
On paper, it hasn't happened this year. I love Noel Gasol. Like, I think that's
But you know what's funny is I just heard yesterday they're bringing Noel off now.
Noah didn't have a good. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Powell threw him off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for the last year and the year before, at the end of last year, Noel was almost averaging a triple double. Mm-hmm. He led the team. He was the first center to lead the team in assists, like damn near ever, or some ridiculous amount of time like that. I mean, he was a very good passing big man, and we're not talking 4 and 5 assists. He was getting 9-10 assists on a regular basis, you know. And Powell's also very good, and you know Noah's a solid 10-15 foot jump shooter. Plays amazing defense, and you gotta love his motor and his heart.
Right, but you don't need Noah to do that right now. When he was doing that when, you know, Derrick Rose wasn't there, you know, he's probably the best passer out there. You know, Kurt Heimerkamp, you know,
right,
not a great passer. Dunleavy, none of them guys are, you know, great passers. Noah was, you know, facilitating. Now you don't need him to do that.
And they were definitely running the ball out of the high post, running the offense out of the high post through Noah. Mm-hmm. You know, he would find the cutters and so be it. And I guess it just hasn't, I don't know how much of it is him being injured or whatever the case may be. But the fact is, in a league starving for big men, they have two, 6'11", 6'10"?
Mm-hmm.
And Powell's a legit 7, maybe even 7'1".
Yeah.
Like, they got two big men who can play basketball.
Right. Well,
You know, our Bulls fan friend TJ said that Noah actually wanted to come off. And I think, I don't know who they're going to start, Gibson or the rookie. That rookie, Milicic.
Yeah, he's more like of a stretch four.
Yeah, he's still maybe he's 6'10", but he's dangerous, man. That kid can score.
Yes, he can. He's got, and he can put the ball on the floor too. He can do a lot. He can pass. Yeah. He can shoot.
Yeah.
He's again, the Bulls, it just, I feel like that window closed so fast and it was all on Derrick Rose. And, you know, if they caught lightning in a bottle with Jimmy Butler. I don't think anybody really saw that coming.
Yeah.
For him to come out of there. You'd like to think they made some noise. And then after that, it's just the Raptors are terrible, Wizards are terrible, Bucks terrible, Celtics and Pacers were trying to miss the playoffs and somehow made it by accident.
And it's funny.
Somebody's going to lose their job over that.
I felt like the beginning of the year that Wizards just had a really solid team.
And when everybody was saying that, I didn't see it. Everybody was saying that, and they were off to, I think at one point they had the second best record in, and they were the two seed for the majority of the time, and I didn't see it. Do you expect them to continue to spiral? I mean, if they draw, they draw the Raptors in there, I would expect them to beat the Raptors.
The Raptors are a pretty good team.
That's like an even matchup, I think.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fair that they actually got to play each other.
Two teams that started off hot and actually both been spiraling out of control. Yeah, it's like they've been following each other down the standings.
Yeah, right.
Who would you choose in that matchup?
I guess depending on everybody's healthy, probably the Wizards.
Definitely have to see a health report on that one.
Yeah.
A lot of question marks over there. Lowry's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Beal's been hurt. Wall's taken off, you know. Who knows what you're going to get from Pierce. I thought Gortat was better than this. I don't know.
I was really, really big on Gortat.
I was too. I liked him.
Yeah.
I thought he was a very talented, very big guy.
I feel like he can do everything you need your center to do.
He looked good in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And he looked good here.
Last year he looked good. I haven't kept up with them as much this year. Has it been that bad?
I find them painful to watch. I just do. They shoot terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible. I mean, at one point, I don't want to throw these numbers out there, but they were breaking records in how many games they were going without a three-pointer and the lowest three-point percentage. I mean, Wall can't shoot a three-pointer to save his life. Beal was missing a whole bunch of time. And then you go to, and then after that, it just, Rasul Butler was shooting the ball well for a little bit, and that just fell off. Right. And, you know, Pierce didn't come here to be playing regular season basketball.
Right.
And he said that publicly, you know what I mean? So I guess now we'll see if he shows up. He came here to be a closer. Right. Now we'll see. But the Wizards, they turned it, to me, they became painful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched much of them since early in the year.
You're not missing much, buddy. Yeah. You're not missing much. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I thought we were going to address the Russell Westbrook 41 shots.
Yes. In the sports group that we get along with, 43. No, it's definitely 43.
Yeah.
I want you as a player, as a player, to explain to people the detriment of that. And it's not about, I don't care if you want 42 or 43. You know, I don't care if you made every single shot. The idea that your teammates go down the floor knowing that they're not getting the ball.
Right.
And I don't understand why people say that, and they throw out these other numbers. He made so-and-so amount of shots, or he had so-and-so amount of assists. I don't care what the number. 43 shots. That's a team's worth of shots in one game, and you took that by yourself. And, oh, by the way, your job is to pass the ball. You know what I mean? In football, if you had a quarterback who, you know, a la Tim Tebow or something who –
just ringing the ball. 35
rushing yards, 35 carries, and he was like, man, I rushed for 200 yards. I'm like, but your job is to pass the football. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't really matter how many rushing yards you have.
I think that's just too much, man. That's too much. It's not often that, especially your point guard, you're going to take 43 shots and win the game.
Often.
And I feel like, he has pieces around. He got shooters around him. Two solid big men. And I was telling guys before last night's game when they won, he took 27 shots. I'm like, Give Enos Kanter the ball. The kid can play.
Yeah, the weirdest thing in the world. I'm glad you said that name. Again, I'm probably one of the only people in the world who doesn't live in Utah, but I own. It sounds bad, but Hayward. So I watch a lot of Jazz games, and they play late. And I like Hayward. Hayward's nice. I don't know if you've ever. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Is literally the last show I had it down before you left, and I wanted to ask you. I'm like, yo, nobody watches this kid Kanter. Like, dude's talented.
Big fan. Been a fan since even though he didn't play at Kentucky since he was coming out.
Dude is like, I mean, he's coordinated.
Yeah.
He's got moves.
Big,
like, he catches
strong touch.
He can put the ball on the floor, finish with both. Like, the dude is talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I seen him in Utah, and I had it on my BlackBerry to show you for the next show, and then you ended up and wanted to leave. And I wanted to say, hey, does anybody know about this kid Kanter? Like, because I've watched these games, and it's like, hey, and he's a legit. He's tall, big, and coordinated.
Yeah.
And he has touch, art. Yeah. Like, you know, the dude can play.
He can play.
And so when OKC traded for him, I was like, whoa.
Me too. When I seen
steal.
That trade,
even
before that, you know, McGeary started, you know, came back from injury. He started playing well.
Yes, he did.
Then they bring in Kanter, and they bring in Novak and Singler and Augustine. I'm like, man, Thunder just made a power move.
I thought the Augustine thing definitely offset. I was expecting more from him, but I think Augustine is the type of person who loses in the Russell Westbrook sweepstakes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm.
Because Augustine was putting up great numbers before that trade.
Right.
Amazing numbers. Right. When Brandon Jennings went down, Augustine, that dude was balling. Like, he was playing really good.
Right.
So then when KD goes down, I was like, oh nah, you know, they can actually put Augustine at the one, shift let Westbrook play the two, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Augustine, I don't even, like, where's though at? His last, you know, probably month in Detroit, he was averaging 18, 20 points a game. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't even know if he scored 20 points since he's been over there.
Well, it's hard for anybody to, when your point guard is taking 40 shots. It's unbelievable. And Morrow's been shooting it great lately. He gets 4 shots that game. And when you're not allowing your other teammates to get in the flow, I mean, you can still take 20-plus shots, which is still a lot, but you still can take that and get everybody involved, and your team will have a better chance of winning than you taking 40 shots. Your team is really not going to have a good chance of winning with that.
So how much of that is Scott Brooks' responsibility?
Scott can't control that. I mean, it's
– Really?
Nah, Scott can't control that. I mean, Russell is Russell, and Scott has always – let Russell be Russell, even when Kevin's on the floor. So
too late now, huh?
With Kevin not on the floor.
Right.
Yeah, it's too late.
Too late now.
What can you do? I mean, I'm pretty sure they talked about it. That's why you see last night's game, they win. Kanter takes 20 shots, hits 13. And what Deion Waiters has been shooting at poor, too. He was 4 for 21. And he was also 4 for 16 the game before that.
I think he just might not be that good.
Waiters.
I
see flashes of him.
Because I do, and it was like you always kind of got the feeling in Cleveland, like, oh, if he got a shot.
Yeah.
And then it's one of these guys, like, when he did get a shot, I was like, maybe he's not even.
Yeah.
Maybe he is a seventh man.
But if you had on that team, that's where a team I would like to see a guy like Rondo. Because you got guys like Singler and Morrow and Novak who don't even play that much. All these knockdown shooters around you, but you don't have a guy that can get them the ball.
There's no point in having Novak and Russell Westbrook on the same team.
Zero point.
It defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost, they shouldn't be on the court at the same time. Yeah. Nothing. Now, here's
even Kanter and Adams, if they had that kind of a passing point guard out there, them guys would be getting easy points.
I think Rondo and Kanter, I think Cantor's a different player if he plays with Rondo. Yeah. I think he's, you know, Kanter's
still
very talented.
He's averaging almost 19 and 11 since he's been.
And what is he, 23?
If he's that.
Yeah, he's young. Yeah. Here's a question for you. If you are on that team with Westbrook, and I know you've been at that level and on a situation, and a guy has Westbrook status, and you are your status, you're DeMar, you're the, you know, just a guy on the team, shooting guard, trying to get, you know, whatever, veteran. Does anybody say anything?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say anything. That's really not who I am.
Does your body language say anything?
No. Because, I mean...
How long are you just going to keep running up down the court without getting the ball?
You know, when you... It depends on...
How long before those hands are on the knees, you know what I'm saying, on the offensive set?
If I'm a guy who's, you know, maybe not a max guy, but I'm important to the team and I have some kind of power, then yeah, maybe you got to say something. But
what about, like, okay, if Kendrick Perkins
that's
is still there,
in my head. I mean,
is he that guy?
He's a senior, but I mean, I know he ain't going to say pass me the ball.
I mean, but that's what he was brought there for leadership, right? Though, you know?
That's the exact same name that was popping in my head.
Can Kendrick say something?
I know he's not going to say pass me the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you, it's hard for him to be able to say something when somebody passed him the ball and he don't finish.
No, he's terrible. I don't think the Kendrick Perkins argument would be, I need to be more involved, but it'd be like, yo, can you pass the ball to somebody? I mean, 40, like you said, 43 shots. That's what I'm wondering. Is there anybody who said, like, or is it, do you just leave people alone? Is it just like?
I think Russell's one of them guys. You might just got to leave alone. But I do feel like.
What about KD? Can KD say that?
He might be the only person that can say something. But I do feel like they did address that the night after that game. Because, I mean, even though he still took 27 shots last night, it was a lot less than 43.
It seemed like it was a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, when he had that game, and he was like, I shot too much.
Yeah.
He said it himself in his interview. Yeah. You remember, and it was in the 40s, I believe, on that one, too. It was 38 or something like that. I think it was 38 was the number.
I mean, that's when the coaches got to – we all got to go in the film room, and we got to, I mean,
see what opportunities we missed.
And, yeah, you got to pause it during the time when you pause it and be like, see when that guy's open or not. And you got to
– see these four guys not on the team that you're standing in front of you?
I'm pretty sure Scotty and I'm told him, you got to get the ball to Cantor. And that's why Cantor took 20 shots last night.
I just watched 43s on, like, unreal. At the point guard position, dude. At the point guard position. That's a hell of a number for a shooting guard. At the point. And that, to me, right there, is why I told you. It's funny. Like, I watched, you know, we had that discussion last week, which is a great debate. If you guys didn't see it, go back and check that one out about the top 10 point. That's the reason that he could never be my number one point guard. Like, it could not be.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to take four, and again, I don't care if he scored 50. If the list would be completely different if it was best basketball player. But if we're talking about point guard, he can't be my best point. I don't even want him on my team. I don't.
Nah, I wouldn't want him to run my team.
I don't want to, you know, I mean, that's.
Unless he changes his attitude, because he does have the ability to, I mean, we've seen the triple doubles and, but it just, even last night with him, taking, you know, only 27 shots. And
you
know, just
hear what you're saying?
20.
Only taking 27
shots.
That's absurd.
Yeah. But even last night.
You know what I mean? Like, that's absurd.
He looking guy like, it's a few times, Cantor on the post, great position, after he scored, and Russell ain't giving the ball. And when you a smart point guard, when you a point guard, how you're taught to be, you give him that ball every time. It's not even a thought. Give him that ball.
Do you think that when KD went down, it was like point guard thing went out the window and it was just like green light, green light, green light? And you just saw it as not so much even I'm a point guard now. They're just, it's my show.
Yeah.
You know, KD went down and he said, man, that's an extra 20-something shots. All 20 are mine. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, if that's the case, then like you said, move Augustine to the one and move him to the two then.
Augustine
takes the ball away from him.
Became irrelevant. He's been 100% irrelevant since he got there. He's been irrelevant, which is amazing, because he was playing the best basketball of his career right before the trade deadline, and then he became irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can't, like you said, if you, the scenario that we discussed in terms of moving him, it doesn't work, because Westbrook dominates the ball. I mean, dominates the ball. He has the ball in his hand at all times.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason he gets so many rebounds, because he's in such a rush to go get the ball.
The reason he gets so many assists.
Yeah, I mean, is it? You know, by the time you get the ball, it's 2 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Take nothing away from it.
Man, super talented, man.
It couldn't be my point guard. He could be my two guard.
Yeah.
With another distributor as the one, but I can't have him dominating the basketball, and I don't think, I think players like Cantor, Cantor deserves the ball.
Yeah.
And you know, Morrow deserves to get his shot. If Novak's going, why is Novak on the team if you're not, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not going to pass him the ball for a wide open three pointer, then why is he there?
Right.
Doesn't do anything else.
No.
So it doesn't even, you know what I mean? And if Augustine is not going to be, why is Augustine? There's too many players that are completely lost in the Russell Westbrook web. That's just my thought.
And then I feel like Deion Waiters gets upset. So he feels like he has to force some stuff up because of what Russell does.
Yeah. I, Yeah, I, I think Deion Waiters is one. I think he's, from a basketball standpoint, his game looks immature to me in terms of, like, you can tell when he gets the ball, like, it's going up. It doesn't, it's no thought. And it's almost like he had, it's like a my turn sort of thing. Like, my turn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, yo, you know, hey, dude, like, we are running some sort of offense here. Like, there are plays. You don't just, it's not your turn to shoot. And that's what I see. That's what I saw in Cleveland. And you know what, for him, though, to be fair to him, to go from playing with Kyrie Irving as your point guard, playing Russ Westbrook's point guard, the dude's probably like, yo, what does a guy got to do to get a basket around here? You know what I'm saying? Like what the hell does a guy got to do to touch the basketball?
Yeah, I mean. You think of it from that standpoint, yeah, he's probably like, man. Yeah.
He's like, yo, what does a guy got to do? This is ridiculous. You know?
But you're going 4-for-21. That's on you, brother.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, anything you want to say about any early predictions playoff? You want to jump out there? Give me one bold prediction. Each one of you. Give me one bold prediction.
Well, we don't got the matchups yet.
Okay. Just a bold prediction. I didn't have to say. I think this team is going to not make the finals. I think this team is going to make the finals. I think this team is going to upset somebody.
I'm not ready to go out there.
The weirdest thing is the two teams that I'm most on the fence about in the West, Portland and Rockets, are going to end up playing each other in the first round. Like, that's the weirdest thing to me.
What are you on the fence about with them?
They're the only two teams that I'm not like, they got a shot to win the title. I don't see Portland winning the title, and I don't see the Rockets winning the title. If either one of those teams was playing another team in the series, I would pick the other team. They're the only two teams that I would say, you know, I don't know. I predict them to lose, but they're just playing each other. So that answers your question. I think both of them will lose their first round matchup, except for they're playing each other. So that would leave me with, I think Portland is now. Batum's hurt. He didn't finish yesterday's game. A follows out for I think they said 2 weeks.
Not sure.
And he was already backing up Matt, and he was already playing because of Matthews. So I mean, right. And if Batum, Aflalo, and Matthews is out, that's a lot. Go ahead, anyone?
No, nothing. Go ahead.
You were gonna say something about what, Houston?
I thought, weren't they tied for second place in the West?
But the way it works is about the winning your
division.
Yeah. So then, Spurs, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then everything after that sorts itself out. So whereas though you could be 2, you could also be 5th or 6th. You know what I mean?
That's weird too.
Yeah. The Rockets, to me, as I look at them, I just don't really see what's good about them. That's why I feel like they overachieved. I don't feel like they're a 55 win team. And if Dwight could even be, now that being said, if Dwight is even a fraction of what he was in Orlando, at 80% of what he was in Orlando, that would make all the difference in the world. But I don't feel like we haven't seen Orlando Dwight in years, since he left Orlando. And I don't even think he was that good in his last year in Orlando. You know what I mean?
I mean, but you know, 18 and 11 ain't too bad. I'll take that for my center.
Yeah, but not when you know your center is capable of doing, like, your center's had 40-20 games before in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like,
just last year, he had an amazing series against Portland.
Yeah, he did. Portland. Yeah. Yeah. Now, so, I mean, if he does that, then I don't know.
Yeah, but just like, you know, sort of with Deion Waiters, you know, James Harden ain't.
No, he's not. You know, nobody's. He's not going down to Steve John Stockton or Steve Nash anytime either.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dumping the ball into Dwight Howard.
No, he's not. No, he is not. That is, I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. All right. Well, I had a fun show. Anything you want to say, anyone?
Any other end of the year things you want to throw out there? Rookie of the year, anything like that?
I feel like there really wasn't a rookie of the year race. Doesn't it have to be Wiggins?
Yeah.
And I don't even feel like he overwhelmed.
Yeah. Wiggins had a pretty good year. I think it's Wiggins, hands down. The guy from Chicago, he played pretty well.
Did you think Wiggins had a good year?
Yeah. I think he had a good year.
I mean, he wasn't impactful, but numbers-wise, he did pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he had some good games. I mean, he had a really, really good game against Cleveland and LeBron.
I feel like it would be one of the most underwhelming rookie, especially considering I'd imagine he'll probably win unanimously. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like he played in I think he played. Well, he will have played in every game. I don't think he missed any games. But it'll be 82 meaningless games, and you know that's when you get big numbers. Yeah. You got unlimited minutes. Nobody backing you up. Yeah. Nobody, nothing at the stake but for you to get better. Now again, I'm not trying to say he had a bad year or anything of the sort, but I don't. Especially how much hype we've been hearing about Wiggins for since he was like a junior in high school, and you know the next LeBron. That was the title they gave him. The next LeBron. Not saying he asked for it, but that's what they called him. And I see no resemblance of LeBron at all. Nothing. I thought about Rookie of the Year, but then I just felt like there really wasn't. I would have liked to see Jabari healthy.
Yeah.
And give him a run for at the end of the year. I mean, way too late, but Noel came on. Noel's had some good. Known as Noel's out there in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He, after stinking it up in the beginning of the year, he had a good last month of the year. You know what I learned from this is that
meaningless, more meaningless games.
Absolutely meaningless games. No doubt about it. The Sixers. Everything about it. To me, what's sad though is as we talk about these poor rookie campaigns, and they have been for a while now. I don't understand the tanking. Like I don't see any correlation between grabbing all these young players and being any better. I don't see. I feel like LeBron.
I think the point is to try to get that one, like the next LeBron. You're just hoping,
but
you know.
They're not. That's what makes LeBron special. If there was a LeBron in every draft, he wouldn't be special. You know, that's what makes him special, that he comes once every 20 years. You know, so this idea that, you know, we just get him and it's like, well, there you go. You got your wish. You had. I mean, the Timberwolves have the two number, Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett, back to back number ones. They could have the one. They could have this year, the next one too. And still stink. You know what I mean? Like, this, the Cavs, I mean, there's no shortage of guys who are 1, 2, and 3. If you took the picks 1, 2, 3 combined for the last 3 years, you still probably wouldn't have a playoff team. You know, if you put them all together, the Anthony Bennett with Wiggins, with, you know, whoever else, put them all on the same team, your team would still stink.
Yeah, but you don't know that when you're tanking, though.
I don't know. You see any logic in tanking?
I mean, it doesn't have to be like the next LeBron, but even if it's like Anthony Davis, you know, or
and but don't say even if it's you, like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a monster.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
If you know New York or the Lakers, you know, I don't know why Philly. I mean, what they want the number one pick for?
They got thousands of picks.
Yeah, and they pick a center every year.
Who's not playing? So, yeah. It's a requirement.
So I would feel like if you trying to rebuild. What's the point of not making the playoffs and not having a chance to get the number one pick when you got a guy like Okafor coming out who can probably, you know, have a chance to change, you know, your organization?
Yeah. So, like, what's the point in being a
definitely what's the point?
Team?
Yeah, right. I definitely agree. There's no reward to being the ninth seed in the West or the East. You know, right. Being just the last. It's probably and for all intents and purposes, being the seventh or eighth seed in the East either. Like that's. Pointless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to be at the bottom, be at the bottom. Yes, I do. But this idea with certain teams, like just starting the season out with the intention of just being bad, and I feel like it's dirty water to the fans and to the sport.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, they know rather they're intentionally trying to tank or not. If you just have a bad team, you're just not going to win.
I don't, like we said, for example, the Sixers, I don't see them getting any better next year either.
No, they traded. I mean, I would think out of anybody they wouldn't trade would be Michael Carter Williams.
But it's been that way for the last 2-3. It's like anybody who shows a lick of promise, get out of here. Yeah. Like, they don't tolerate good basketball. You know what I mean? Like, good basketball will not be played here today, buddy. You know, you start doing, because it's been that way for a while now. Because before that, it was Holiday. Like, he was the only good player on the team. Like, get out of here. Right. And then, you know, Carter Williams, get out of here. You know, just like, these are the only people on the team who are performing. And you're like, they got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. All right, anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in this week on the show. Make sure, A1, tell me what they got to do for the, what is the iTunes?
Just go to the podcast center and just type in The Barbershop, and it should pop right up.
The Barbershop Player's Voice, I think you got to put.
You don't got to, just no, just The Barbershop.
Really?
Yeah.
We're moving up in the world, folks. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Look forward to next week. When do you want to, one more week, and then we'll do the boxing? I got so much boxing knowledge to give you. I know both of the fighters is going to be a great breakdown, man. Pull up some YouTube clips, all of that. Just a little tease.
Whenever you're ready, man. Just do some homework, then, you know, we could talk about it.
Okay. Oh, look, there they go right there on the TV, boy. Money team. I'm still amazed. The way this dude comes up to waste money is, like, unreal. It's like every time you turn on his mouthpiece is made of $100. It's like, dude, it's unreal, man. Like, every time you see something, it's just like, okay, wow. Man traded in a Ferrari for another Ferrari. Like, all right. that's unreal. All right, man. Thank you again for everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next week.